Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. This is one of the scriptures that's been our theme this week. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is talking to the Galatian church here, and he makes an amazing statement. He says two things. He says, God supplies the Spirit to you. It's a given. He doesn't say if he would. He didn't say he might or maybe he will, or you never know. You know, once in a while it might happen. It's a matter-of-fact statement. It's like, this is the norm for church. This is the norm for the New Testament church. This is the norm for New Covenant believers, a continual supply of the Spirit of God and miracles being wrought in their midst. That's what God's design and plan is for the church, not just for the church in Galatia when Paul was writing to them, but for us today. Amen. Do you agree with me on that? Do you believe with me for that? I believe that's what God wants for us right now. Praise God. We've been talking about that second part, that God works miracles among us, but I don't want us to miss the first part because they're interconnected. You can't separate the two. He supplies the Spirit to you. He supplies the Spirit to you. You know, in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, Zechariah had a vision, and he saw a lampstand, and he saw that it was connected to, if I've got this, I should go back and look at it, I should have looked it up, but there was a continual supply that I believe the Amplified Bible reads it that way, a continuous supply of oil to that lampstand. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said we're to be the light of the world, and how are we to be the light of the world? By a continuous supply of his Spirit in our life. We can't be the light of the world in our own, you know, in our own strength. We sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine," but it's the light of that light is supplied by God, by his Spirit, by his presence in our lives, and there's to be a continual supply. Hallelujah. He supplies the Spirit to us. How does he do it? He says, by the hearing of faith, by us believing the message, receiving the message, and acting on it. Amen? Praise God. So I believe God's going to supply the Spirit to us in a powerful way tonight. So you get ready for that. You open your heart for God to supply his Spirit. So what does that mean for my life? Well, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, empowers you, strengthens you, then the works of darkness just fall off. Hallelujah. And you become empowered to do the works of God. Amen? Praise God. So get ready to receive that tonight. God wants to bring a supply of his Spirit into your life. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Well, again, it's been just a delight to have Reverend Ted Shuttlesworth, his wife Carolyn, and their two daughters with us. Little Brooklyn almost went home with us this afternoon. They had to pry her out of Miss Robin's arms after lunch today, and we were just about ready to take her home. I said, "Do you want to come home and play with the kitties?" And she said, "Kitties." So it's been a delight. We had not had really an opportunity except for the one service back in June to be around them and fellowship with them. Really hadn't. This earlier this summer's first time we met Carolyn, because the last time Ted was with us for any services really was 12 years ago. And so it's just been a delight to have them back, and they've just sown so much of the things of God and the Word of God into our lives, I know into your life during this week. Have you been blessed? Amen. And, well, we've got one more powerful service. God saves the best for the last. At the wedding in Cana, when they brought the wine after Jesus had turned the water into wine, they said, "You've saved the best for the last." Well, that's the way God works. Amen. This may be the last series or last service in this series, but it's going to be the best one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Ted, come on. Let's give a great welcome to Reverend Ted Shuttlesworth, Jr. Amen. Praise the
Lord. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you happy tonight? Amen. It's good to have the youth with us as well in here. If you give me just a little bit more on this microphone, I appreciate it. I've been preaching. My voice is, this is the third time I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. I preached this morning over at the chapel. What's the name of the school there? Horizon Christian Academy. So I preached there for the chapel this morning. And then, of course, we had our 12 noon session today. And tonight is our third time ministering. I'm telling you, God's doing wonderful things all over the world. And there are the miracles of God prove the reality of Jesus Christ. Why do we push so hard for the power of God to be seen? Because there's no other way to prove Jesus is alive other than the power of God. And you know, Jesus himself pointed at his miracles to prove he was the Son of God. Can you say amen? And so I'm excited. I've been having a great time with you this week. I tell you, there's such a wonderful spirit of God in this church. And I love pastors because they've done such a wonderful job to entertain the presence of the Holy Ghost. And there's something about when the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, it changes everything. Can you say amen? I hate going to dead church. I would rather not go. Amen. Where there's places where they don't even let the Holy Spirit come in, I don't want to be there either. I'd rather be at home on the couch, you know, eating Pringles and watching Netflix. I don't know. I'd rather not be there if the Lord's not there. And see, there's many places in America today, they don't even let the Lord come into his own house anymore. They want to just go through their form, go through their ritual. They want to do their thing and then get out of there. But I would rather entertain the presence of God, amen, and be in the presence of the Most High than I would just come together in some dead church service. And so tonight I'm believing God that before every one of us leave, we're going to receive something supernatural from the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Every one of us in this place is going to receive an impartation from the Holy Ghost. And I want you to start by looking with me real quick at Isaiah chapter 10. And we're going to start there tonight. And I'm not going to preach a super long time. Of course, I say that now. But I want to lay hands on you and believe God for impartation. What I asked the Lord, I said, God, before we finish this service tonight, I pray that you'd give us all a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some of you in here tonight, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before, but this can be the night you receive that gift from heaven. Amen. You know, it is God's desire that every person be filled with the Holy Ghost. How do I know that? Well, the Bible teaches that when Jesus was getting ready to go into heaven and ascend into heaven, he told his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem and don't do anything else until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? To people that had already healed the sick, they'd already preached the gospel. These were not guys that didn't know what they were doing. These guys knew what they were doing. But Jesus said, don't do any more ministry. Don't pray for one more person. Don't try to raise the dead. Don't preach the gospel. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you get filled with power from on high. Which shows you, Jesus himself didn't even begin ministering until he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you shout amen? The Bible says when he got baptized in the river by John, the Bible says when he was done being baptized, he left and went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Ghost. It is God's desire that every believer be filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you look at the story, I love this, all through the book of Acts, as they went and Philip went to Samaria in Acts chapter 8 and preached Christ unto them, the Bible says miracles took place and there was great joy in the city. But then after people got saved, do you know the first thing that happened? They sent Peter and John in there, and Peter and John started laying hands on all the new believers, getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. It was order of business number one after salvation. Can you say amen? I love how Paul did it too, because Paul didn't ask them, you know, whether they wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost or not. Paul went in to the church in Turkey. He went over to Turkey in Ephesus, and he went and said to them in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Spirit since you became a believer? And they said, we've not even heard there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. He said, well, hold on. Which baptism were you baptized in? They said, oh, the baptism of John. So what he found out right there was they weren't even Christians yet in a way. They'd only been baptized in water by John. But he then baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ, got them saved. And then, without asking them one question, isn't this interesting? I love it because he didn't say, now listen, I have a 3-week podcast series you can listen to on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're done with that, here's a set of cards you can fill out that'll tell us your comfort level on whether you want to be filled with the Spirit. And after that, we have some small groups about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the end of all that, if you're still interested, we'll take you into a back room somewhere and lay hands on you and hope you get filled with the Holy Spirit. No, he didn't even ask them if they wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, as soon as they got saved, he laid his hands on them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. and begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. Paul understood that it was number one order of business after you get saved. The Holy Spirit, you know what kind of upsets me is in our generation, a lot of churches treat the Holy Spirit like he's some little side dish to the entree of salvation. And all they do is say, salvation, salvation, salvation. And while that's important, it's very hard to live in your salvation and to manifest your salvation without the Holy Ghost. There's all kind of people in our generation that they want to live for the Lord. They don't want to fall into sin. They don't want these things to happen. But you know what's happened to them? They've gone into war with no weapons. When you try to live as a Christian, saved, but not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're getting sent into battle with no weapon. And the Bible declares that you receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That's what the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is. He puts power in you. And when you are imbued with power from on high, the Bible says that it gives you the ability to work the works of Christ. I love this because as you study it out, you'll begin to see that the Holy Spirit, of course, before I go to Isaiah 10, I'll just quote to you Acts 10 and verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Hallelujah. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. And so something happens to you when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. What is it? You get filled with power from heaven. And until you get that power, which it's a subsequent experience after salvation. There's a lot of people that teach you, well, when you get saved, you're already filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I've been in services where I've seen people get saved and filled at the same time. But if you understand it here, it is a separate and a subsequent experience after salvation that fills you with the power of heaven to work the works of God. And in Isaiah chapter 10, there's a verse of scripture in verse 27 that you need to see, and it'll stir you up. I'll read it from the King James, and Scarlett, you can put it on the monitor. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of what? The anointing. The anointing breaks every yoke. Now, we're not Amish in here today, so most people don't know what a yoke is. But a yoke is what they used to put around the neck of oxen that would drag behind them a heavy load. Whether they were plowing fields, whether they were pulling a cart down, whatever it might be, the yoke is something that puts you in bondage to work as a slave for the people that own you. And what they're trying to say in this passage of scripture is that the enemy wants to keep you as a slave yoked up in the bondage of sin. And the burdens that he places on your shoulders include sickness, disease, poverty, chronic depression, anxiety attacks, every evil thing that the devil sends to destroy people's lives. He tries to put them into captivity and make them a slave to the evil things of the spirit realm. But the Bible teaches us something so awesome here. It says when you get filled and the power of the anointing comes into your life, there's not one yoke that's big enough to stay around your neck. Hallelujah. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. That makes me excited because it shows you there's no enemy big enough to destroy you when you're filled with the power of God. Woo, glory to God. You know what I like? There's a scripture in the Bible that says that God, as you're entering into his anointing, the Bible says, and he will make your neck fat. Anybody ever read that scripture before? I mean, that's happened to me like literally. That's why I keep pulling on my collar, but too many Big Macs and too many double cheeseburgers. But what I'm talking about is in the spirit realm. And people say, what's the purpose of that verse? Why is that the case? Why does he have to make your neck fat? Well, what the picture is, the word picture here is that God is going to increase you in your borders, make your neck fat so that there's no yoke big enough to go around your neck. There's no attack of the enemy big enough to keep you in bondage. And so what he does is that he gives you expanded strength so that doesn't matter what comes against you, it's not big enough to destroy you. Hallelujah. The Bible says no weapon formed against you can be allowed to prosper. You know what I like about that? The Bible doesn't say weapons won't be formed against you. It just says the ones that are cannot prosper against you. Woo, hallelujah. Let me just say it to you like this. I could lay in my bed at night and somebody could come in to play a prank on me. And I like to watch prank shows. I don't know if anybody else likes to watch that. I was watching one time. This wife was so cruel to her husband. She went in while he was in the shower and took a whole thing of the country crock butter or whatever it is, and she buttered the tile floor all around the bathroom. And so he's singing real loud and obnoxious in the shower, and then finally he gets out and grabs his towel and goes and he slipped and bashed himself on the floor. And she's so evil. She's just sitting over there laughing. Oh, God, it's so funny. You just broke your neck. I watched one. They had this grandmother, you know, I guess her grandsons were always causing her issues. And you know the thing on your sink where you spray the dishes down, you press the lever and it sprays instead of coming out of the faucet. They went in there and saran wrapped the thing closed and then they aimed it right at her. So the next time she came in to turn the faucet on, they had the video camera hidden in the kitchen. And she turned it on and it sprayed her all over her face and she started yelling and beating up her grandchildren. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I loved it. Let's say somebody came in to play a prank on me and my enemy came into my room and filled my room with mouse traps on the floor. I've seen one like that too. They just set all these mouse traps. Let me take a sidestep here. This has nothing to do with my message, but I just want to bring some joy into your life. If you would just YouTube one time, lipstick wake up. If you want to laugh for a while, a couple of country redneck boys staying in a dormitory and they had an idea to wake their friend up by taking the lipstick out of the tube and putting it into a wrist rocket slingshot and the kid's sleeping on his bed. And I mean, they drew that thing all the way back, got right up on his forehead and snapped him. I mean, he had lipstick embedded into his forehead. He's crying, he's screaming, he's slapping the bed, and then it shows after a massive welt. Don't ever do that. I'm just saying, watch it if you can. And so if someone came into my room and put mouse traps all over the floor and set every one, I want you to know what would happen. I might get up in the middle of the night to go get a drink or something, or I get up in the morning to go take a shower, and I step out of bed and start jumping around. The traps are snapping on my toes. I fall down on the floor and start rolling around, and they're snapping my ears. All traps in the room could go off, but it's not going to kill me. You know why? It could make me mad. It could get me aggravated, but there's not one trap that was put on the floor that's big enough to end my life. Why? Because I'm bigger than the traps that were laid against me. And so what happens when the anointing comes in your life? The devil is so frustrated because not one weapon formed against you can be allowed to prosper, because God's going to have you expanding and increasing at such an accelerated rate that by the time the weapon he formed against you comes to kill you, you're already too big for that thing to take you out. Hallelujah. No weapon that's formed against your life can destroy you in Jesus' name. Why? Because of the anointing. The anointing makes you bigger than your enemy. Hallelujah. I said the anointing makes you bigger than your enemy. And what ends up happening is that you're empowered to destroy every work of the devil. In fact, did you know that's why Jesus came? The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3, the Son of Man was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. The whole reason Jesus came here was to destroy every evil thing that was sent to destroy you. Glory to God. And so you have to have a certain level of spiritual violence to take the promises of God that were set aside for you. In fact, the Bible declares in Matthew 11 and verse 12 that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You have to learn by the power of the Holy Ghost to take the promises of God by force, because the devil doesn't want them to just be released to you. He's fighting to keep them back from you. So you have to learn how to acquire more power than the one who stands against you. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. So that means as a person who follows God, your strength can either be big or your strength can be small. In fact, the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let me just say this to you. If you can be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, then you can also be weak in the Lord. Because you don't have to encourage somebody to do something that's automatic. Right. Amen. I don't have to encourage you to say, be a man, be a man, be a man. I don't have to tell him he's already a man. No matter what I say, he's going to be a man. So I don't have to encourage him to do something that's automatic. But if there's something like the supernatural strength of a believer, when he told them, be strong in the Lord, that means they had a tendency to actually fall into becoming weak in the Lord. And so the book of Proverbs is trying to show us if we faint or fail in the day of adversity, it's not because it was God's will for us to fail. It's because we didn't build up sufficient strength to conquer in the day of battle. Thanks for all the shouts. Hallelujah. So there has to be a building up of supernatural strength in order to accomplish the work of God. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And part of being strong in the Lord is developing the anointing in your Holy Ghost gift. That when the enemy tries to come against you, it doesn't matter what he sets on your path to destroy you. It doesn't carry more power than you carry. Woo, hallelujah. For the Bible declares in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. So you can walk in that reality. You can walk in the place where no matter what attacks your family, no matter what comes against your friends, there's something greater in you than is in the attack. Hallelujah. There's no addiction that can hold you bound. You can destroy it by the power of the Holy Ghost. When I was in high school, I was playing basketball at the time. And there was a young man in my school, very popular. He ran track. He was on a state championship football team, state championship basketball, state championship track. He was known by everybody, but he wasn't saved. He was a partier. And so I came home. It was during the summer, actually. And one day I woke up and he was, I got a call from the hospital. He had been in a car accident. And when they called me, my friends called me from the hospital. They said, you need to get down here quick as you can. Your friend Seth just got in a car accident last night. He was coming from a party where everybody was drinking. And the car, I'm getting ready to tell you how country I am right here. The car went off the road and ran into a barn. And so when the car ran into the barn, a 2x4 came through the passenger window and hit him in the temple and put him into an instant coma. And so he's down there. I go down. Now, first thing I did is I called up one of my friends from the youth group. The only reason I called him is because he had a license and I didn't. It's not that I felt I needed any help. I just couldn't drive legally. So I got my friend on the phone. I said, come on, we're going to the hospital. When we got down there, I went into the hospital and looked around. All those young people were there from the night before. They're all hungover. They're all sad. They're crying in the waiting room. Oh, he was such a good guy. Like he's dead. He's not dead yet. And they're all mourning him like he's dead. And I got angry in my spirit. Now listen to me. It's important to learn how to harness some spiritual anger. Because until you get angry about some of the things the devil's doing in your life, until you get angry about what's coming against your family, you won't do anything to change it. Until people get agitated with what the devil's doing against this generation, they'll take no steps to change it. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you've got to put on an alarm in your room, if you're like me, that's annoying enough to get you out of bed. That's why you don't put on the soft, slow music in your room. It'll just keep you sleeping. In fact, I'm not a morning person. So you know what I have to do? I have to not only do it sometimes where my alarm goes off, sometimes you got to put it away from the bed. So you actually have to get out of the bed into the cold and go wandering to hit the snooze button like a zombie. And so you have to learn if it's not annoying enough to you, you won't bother to change it. Anybody ever tried to go to sleep before? And every time you're on the edge of sleep, there's that one rogue fly that lands on your nose and crawls all over your face. And you're getting ticked off. At first, you just swipe it and try to fall back asleep. But after like the 19th time of this little demon fly landing on your face, when it finally gets you out of bed, you don't go for the fly swatter. You go for the 12-gauge. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to kill this thing. I don't care what it happens. Why? You finally got annoyed enough to get out of bed and do something. It's the same in the kingdom. Until you get agitated at the devil for trying to come against your family, come against your loved ones, come against your friends, you will not build the sufficient supernatural strength to destroy the attack that's come against your life. And so I called my friend. I said, we're going to the hospital. And I got angry. So I went to the other side of the waiting room, and I started pacing back and forth just like this. And I'm pacing back and forth, praying in the Holy Ghost, mad as a hornet. I wasn't mad at the kids, wasn't mad at that. I was mad at the devil for trying to kill my friend before I had a chance to bring him into the kingdom of God. So I'm pacing back and forth, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. You know, sometimes you can pray in the Holy Spirit. See, you don't have to be a goofy person if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's so many churches that they tell you, well, those people that are Holy Ghost filled, they're a bunch of nuts. You know, they're a bunch of, and you know what? There are a lot of nutty people, but I'm not one of them, and you don't have to be either. Amen. I wasn't in there, you know, in a spandex praise outfit doing ballet moves in the spirit. You know, I wasn't in there doing interpretive dance. You know what I mean? I was in there praying for my friend, and I'm in there praying, and by the time I'm praying, the more I'm praying, the madder and madder I'm getting at the devil. And so I could feel the thing bubbling up. It was righteous indignation. And I finally, he was in the ICU, and I'm walking back and forth. Finally, I got so mad, I just walked out of the waiting room, and I pushed my way into the ICU and back towards those rooms. And nurses start chasing me. You can't go back there. You can't go. That's family only, and he's in ICU. And when I turn around and look at him, they must have seen that there was a mission in my eyes because they stopped trying to stop me. And they said, go ahead. Let me go. I went back into the room, and when I pushed into that little room where he was, there was nobody in there but him and his mama. And he was on this table, lifeless. Just all you could hear is the heart monitor beeping. That's all that was going on. His mom's crying in the corner, sitting next to the little lamp with 300 tissues that she'd already used. Sad. Her doesn't know if her son's ever going to come out of this coma. Issues come against her family. And so I looked at her and I said, hey, I'm here to pray for Seth. And I knelt down on the ground and I said, Seth, I know you can hear me. And it's Ted, your friend. I came to pray for you and get you out of this thing. Now, before I'd gone in, I'd got some information from the nurses. And they said, now listen, your friend, this looks pretty serious. They said the 2x4 hit him right in the brain, gave him a concussion, put him into a coma. But also, they said the level of the coma that he's in, I didn't know anything about it, but apparently there's 6 different levels of being in a coma. And they told me he's in a level 4 coma, which was pretty bad. They said, we don't know if he'll ever come out again. They said, and if he does come out, we don't know if he'll have lost motor skills. We don't know if he'll lost memory. All these different things they start telling me. So I went in and I said, I'm going to pray for you, Seth. I'm going to get you out of here in Jesus' name. And I began to lay my hands on his head, and I began to pray. Hallelujah. I commanded him to come out of that coma and for everything to be right. No motor skill damage, no memory loss. I went right through the thing and began to pray. And right, I said, and I command you to come out of this coma in Jesus' name. And right when I said in Jesus' name, guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. He just laid there as dead as before. But do you think I kicked the can and said, well, I guess it's not God's will to heal everybody. This must have been what God planned. Oh, he's sovereign and he heals who he wants and then he lets. No, I looked at his mom and said, it's done in Jesus' name. I didn't think another thing about it because the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, you don't believe when you get a miracle. You believe you receive when you pray. Hallelujah. And so I had already prayed. I felt the release in my spirit. It's done in Jesus' name. I didn't stand around and war in tongues for 3 hours and slap oil on everything that moved. I just went home. Hallelujah. Took a big step of faith, but I got back in the pool. Amen. And then I just took it easy for the rest of the day. The next morning when I woke up, I got a call on my phone from another friend at the hospital. They said, oh, Ted, you're not going to believe this. I said, try me. I'm a believer. I mean, that's what I do. I believe stuff. Amen. And they said, Seth is out of the coma. And they said, the nurses said he's got no memory loss. He's got no motor skill damage. In fact, this was their testimony. They said they've never seen in the history of the hospital, they've never seen anybody recover so rapidly from serious brain trauma. I lifted my hands to heaven and began to praise God that there's a power on the inside of us that no matter what comes against your life, no matter what comes against your family, you have a supernatural authority to destroy the works of the devil. Can you say amen? Why does it come? Because the anointing has come and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Woo, hallelujah. I said the yoke shall be destroyed. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, you begin to understand what happens when the presence of the Lord comes. The Bible says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is life. Everybody say liberty. That means freedom. And you can see it there in the NIV. It says there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so it's impossible to stay into the presence of the Lord and not receive freedom. The reason that so many people don't have it is because they refuse to access the presence of the Lord. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's something that comes alive on the inside of you. There's something that changes on the inside of you when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You go from being just like a normal human being to a person that carries superhuman strength in the Spirit. And it's like something unlocks and comes alive in you that wasn't alive before. What is it? It's the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to see this because what I call it is I call it the anointing of the lion or the lion's anointing. And you begin to see through the Word of God, the lion's anointing is an anointing that everything else that's in your path turns away from. The Bible declares in Proverbs 30 and verse 30, if you're taking notes, that the lion is king of beasts and does not turn aside for any. The lion is what? King of beasts and does not turn aside for any. I've never seen a lion creeping through the jungle. Oh, hope there's no monkeys in here. No. No, lions don't go around hiding from other animals. When they walk in, everything else scatters. Anybody ever watch the Discovery Channel? And you see lions coming all like slow motion. And you're like, oh, man, those gazelles are done for. Man, they are done. And those lions are coming out full force. Nobody. Let me just say this. It doesn't matter if the other animals are bigger than the lions. They still run from the lions. Do you know lions bring down giraffes? Lions bring down rhinos. Lions bring down hippos. You know why? It doesn't matter if it's bigger. The lion is still king of beasts. And there's a lion on the inside of you. Let me just say this to you. If your brother is a lion, you can't be a giraffe. If your brother's a lion, you can't be a donkey. If your brother's a lion, you're a lion. And the Bible says that our elder brother is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. The apostle John was hearing all these things, and he saw the book, but he began to get sad. He said, there's nobody in heaven worthy to open up the book. He said, then I turned to see. He said, do not weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed, and he is able, hallelujah, to open the scroll and its seals. There's a power. There's an anointing in the lion. Proverbs 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, the wicked run away when no one's chasing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. There's an anointing of the lion on the inside of you that comes alive when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can see it very clearly in the life of the Apostle Peter, because through his entire life before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he battled fear, panic, and anxiety. You know how I know that Peter was a redneck? He was a redneck. You know how I know? Peter liked to do three things. He liked to fight, fish, and cuss. That's how I know Peter was a redneck. I know he was. And Peter was not a skilled swordsman or a fighter by any means. He was a fisherman by trade. And the Bible says that he battled fear and anxiety in his life. Jesus called him out on the water. He got out of the boat and started walking. But what happened? As soon as he got out there, he started looking at the wind and the waves, started having a little panic attack, and began to sink. And Jesus had to lift him up. As soon as the soldiers came to get Jesus in the garden, Peter was the first one. He thought he was going to get crucified too. He whipped a sword out and just started swinging a sword around in the garden. He wasn't a warrior. Bible says that even though there were soldiers there, Peter starts randomly swinging and cuts off a little boy that's a servant's ear is laying on the ground. She's like, hold up a second. Take it easy for a minute. Let me heal this guy. You know, put the sword away, Peter. Take it easy for a minute. Peter's like, he's in the middle of like a frenzy. Just take it easy. After Jesus is crucified, a little girl comes up to Peter at the campfire. I know who you are. You're one of Jesus' men. You're one of the ones that traveled with him. And he starts swearing that that's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not who I am. Why? He's afraid. Afraid he's going to have the same fate. But something changed in him. The lion came alive on the inside of him. And the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, Woo, I feel the anointing in here. I said, I feel the anointing in here on the day of Pentecost. Now, as we were talking about a moment ago, Pentecost was not just that day that the Holy Spirit came from heaven. The Jews had been celebrating Pentecost for thousands of years before that time. In fact, that's the reason all of the Jews were already in the city to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They were all there for it. In fact, the first Pentecost they celebrated was when Moses brought the Torah down off of the mountain. I'll tell you something that'll stir you up if you've never heard this before, but there are several things that if you look at both Pentecosts, the one where Moses came down and the one when the Holy Spirit came down. Do you know that when Moses came down off the mountain and had brought the Torah, because of the disobedience of the nation of Israel, on that day, 3,000 died. But did you know that on the final Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came, on that day when the Holy Spirit came down, 3,000 came to life. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. That's the difference between the law and the Spirit. The law, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. And so they were there on that day of Pentecost, and Peter and 120 believers, they were there in the upper room, and the Bible says there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And thousands of Jews that were there from all over the world, and they were there celebrating that feast, they started pointing at them. Said, look at these guys. They're a bunch of drunks. They've been drinking too much. Apparently, whatever they were doing in the upper room made them look drunk. They were drunk in the Holy Ghost. I said, they were drunk in the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all have never been drunk in the Holy Ghost in your life. It's about time to start drinking for you. Amen. Say, I don't know what that even means. Well, you need to find out. So many people worried about what people think about them. Get filled up with the Holy Ghost a little bit. Lose all that dignification, if that's even a word. I went to homeschool, so I don't know. And I went and stop caring what people think about you and start praising God like you're designed to. Amen. If it's not a word, I'm going to submit it to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's going to be a word. Listen, if Rachel Ray can get the OVO or whatever she put in there, I'm putting my words in there. And the Bible says, when they started getting mocked by all these people, who was the first one to stand up? Peter. The one who used to battle fear. The one who used to have anxiety. The one who used to be nervous all the time. The Bible says the first person to get out of their seat and defend the Holy Ghost was Peter, the rock. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he stood up and he said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. This is the season he was waiting for. And when the Holy Ghost came down and they were filled up, a boldness came and a strength in the Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. There's a strength in the Holy Ghost that you can only get from the anointing of God. You've got to have the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people are ashamed they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Some people are so ashamed they serve the Lord, they can't even pray over their meals in public anymore. They have to drop a napkin on the ground just to pray for their food at McDonald's. Drop a Father, bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope nobody saw that. I'm so sick of people being embarrassed that they're Christians. You know, everybody else is all out and about and proud and loud about what they believe. And you got Christians going out covering it up, thinking they did the Lord a service because they wore a What Would Jesus Do bracelet to work. Meanwhile, you got people marching down the street, having big, parades, saying what they believe, not ashamed of what they believe in, not ashamed about what anybody else thinks, and you got Christians hoping they don't offend anybody. Well, we need to learn to coexist. And you need to understand, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, I'm not ashamed of the anointing. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. I don't care that people may not find it like comforting or convenient. We don't want to have that in our church because there's visitors that might think it's weird. Well, who cares? It is weird. It's different than what you got. I have no depression. You have depression. I've got no anxiety. You've got anxiety. I'm not taking antidepressants. You're taking antidepressants. I'm not living my life based on the world system. I'm not going down to the the pharmacy during flu season to get a flu shot, because I've already got something in my blood that pushes out every sickness and every disease, and no weapon formed against me can prosper. Shout amen. What is it? It's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's weird. It's different. You got to get it. I said you got to get it. It's awesome. That's a little weird for me, brother. Well, some people need to get weird, because the normal is to be like the world system, and I want nothing to do with it. I said I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with all this stuff going around in the world right now. I travel all the time. You know, there's never a time there's not some sickness they're talking about on the news. Bird flu, swine flu, whatever. I mean, there's so many different ones you can get. Monkey flu, giraffe flu. I don't know what they got now. I'm flying the other day, not long ago, and what was this thing that came out? I was going to Jamaica and back and all around, and they had all this, what was it? Ebola. You got people walking through airports with little surgical masks on. And I'm thinking to myself, these nuts, you really think that's going to keep a disease off you because you got a little cardboard mask on your face? People look at me like I'm saying, you're flying, you're doing so much traveling, you're not going to wear a mask? I ain't Michael Jackson. You think a little mask is going to keep me? I'll tell you what keeps me is the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. The blood is on my door. The death angel has to pass by me. Sickness has to pass over my house. The devil already knows where I live, and he don't come visiting me. Hallelujah. I made up my mind a long time ago, and he knows. See, people say, well, brother, I don't care if the devil knows my name as long as Jesus knows my name. The devil needs to know your name. He needs to know who you are. You ever read in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva came up. They thought they were going to do the same kind of devil casting out the apostles did. They started coming against this demon, and the demon spoke out of the man and said, hey, I've met Jesus and I've met Paul, but I don't know who you are. And when they tried to cast the demon out of that, the Bible says the demon-possessed man spanked them and stripped them and sent them down the road. There's a big difference between when the devil knows your name and when he doesn't know who you are. When you carry the authority and power of the Holy Ghost, the devil knows who you are, and you make your mark in the kingdom of God. And the devil knows not to... Let me say something to you. Hollywood and all these, you know, they're making so many movies about demons and about paranormal activity and all this stuff. Got people checking under their beds to see if there's demons in the closet, you know, setting breadcrumbs out in front of their door, make sure there's any salt on the ground, make sure there's no footprints after the night's over, and putting up, you know, cameras in their house with, you know, night vision on them to see if they can record any paranormal. You'll never see on the news any, not one time. I promise you, you listen to me very clearly. You'll never read a news report. You'll never see it on Facebook, Twitter, or Snapchat that evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth got dragged down the hallway of his house by some demon that was living up in his house and locked him in his closet and he had to bang for his wife to get him out. No, you're never going to hear about some demon that slapped me in the face while I was in my pantry getting a peanut butter and jelly. It ain't going to happen, because the devil knows where I live and he knows not to come in my house, because there's a power in my house that's not in everybody's house, but you can have it if you want it. It's the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, set my level and just keep it. Bring it back up and just leave it alone, because my voice has gone from preaching and I need the strength of it. Because by the time I leave here, I'm going about 13 other places and I got to make sure I have a voice. Amen. Hallelujah. And if it gets a little loud, people can put their fingers in their ears. Amen. Bring some cotton next time. Hallelujah. It's not going to happen. There's an anointing that keeps you free from demonic oppression. And if you think demonic oppression isn't real and it's just something you see in the movies, you're wrong. There's a whole nation, there's a whole generation being demonically oppressed right now. That's got one out of every three people in my generation taking an antidepressant every day. That ain't normal. That's a demonic attack against our generation. It's not normal. When I was in high school, one out of every three people weren't taking an antidepressant to get through the day. People wondering how they were going to make it, committing suicide. I got so tired of ministering to student activities and things and having young girls line up the altar and come up and show me and cry as they show me cut marks all the way up their arms from their wrists all the way to their elbows. They've been cutting themselves because the devil's lied to their mind and told them they're worthless and that there's no value on their life and that they're not worth anything. You might as well just end it all now. There's no hope for you. I tell you, the devil's a liar, and don't believe what he says over your life. God, listen, maybe we could argue about how much your life was worth if we didn't have the receipt. But we have the receipt. So when you take something back to the store and they tell you, well, we can't give you the full amount because you don't have the receipt, and they begin to argue with you and debate how much the item's worth. But when you come walking back into customer service holding the receipt in your hand, there's no argument as to how much you paid for the item. And if the devil can argue with you, it's because he's made you forget that we still hold the receipt for how much was paid for you. For Jesus, who knew no sin, put himself on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood to purchase you back from the enemy. Hallelujah. You are not worthless. You're priceless. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I said, you're not worthless. You're priceless. And we have the receipt from Jesus' blood to prove it. He would not have wasted one drop of his precious blood for something that was worthless. He said, I see the potential in them. I see what I love in them, and I'm going to buy them back from the bands of the enemy. Hallelujah. And there's something in our generation that needs to be addressed, and it is this harassing from the enemy against our families and against our lives. The only thing that will break the chains of bondage off of this generation is the power of the Holy Ghost. A cool graphical video is not going to do it. A human video and skit is not going to do it. Waving flags around the sanctuary, praise God for it, it's not going to break the chains. There's only one thing that's going to break every chain, the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why when you go to churches that don't have any life in them, they're always filled up with people that are in bondage. Why is the bondage there? Because if the Spirit of the Lord's not there, the liberty and the freedom's not there. If the Spirit of the Lord is there, the healing power cannot be there. If the Spirit of God's not there, deliverance cannot be available. So that's why we press in so strongly for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because without it, there is no deliverance from the attack of the enemy. We need him more than we've ever needed him. Can you say amen? Right where you're sitting, just lift your hands. I felt the anointing on that. We need him like we've never needed him. We need him like we've never needed him. Hallelujah. The anointing is transferable. Come on, praise him for one more moment. We need him like we've never needed him. Jesus, we need you. Holy Ghost, we need you. We're not ashamed of you. Not ashamed of you. Not ashamed that we're filled with your presence, filled with your power, filled with your glory. Not ashamed. We're not ashamed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not ashamed. We're not ashamed. Not ashamed. In Jesus' name. Now let me go here. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to go there with me. The Holy Ghost. Now see, the Holy Ghost will lead you to do things you wouldn't normally do. He'll have you do stuff that in your flesh you think, man, that's crazy. I ain't doing that. But when the Holy Ghost leads you, he leads you for a purpose. He's got a reason. He's telling you to do what he's telling you to do. I remember preaching one time. I was in North Carolina. I'd never been to this church in my life. Maybe you've heard me tell this story. It's worth repeating. I was in a church in North Carolina preaching, having a good meeting. I mean, I felt like I was doing a good job. I was laying hands on everybody. By the time the service was over, I thought I'd prayed for everybody in the building. So I went back up on the platform. I was getting ready to close the service in prayer. And I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, you're not done yet. He said, you're not done yet. I said, I'm not. I prayed for everybody in the whole building. He said, no, turn around and look. And standing right over here on this side of the sanctuary in the aisle was a young man. and he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s, and he had his hands raised, big stocky guy. He looked like, you know, a tough guy, standing up, you know, hands raised right here, and he was just praying. And the Lord, I heard the Lord say, I promise you, I heard the Lord say in my spirit, he said, go over there, pick that young man up over your shoulders, and bounce him around the church. I thought, Lord, come on now. I've never been here in my life. Now, Jesus, don't. Come on. People are going to think I'm nuts in this church. He said, no, you go do it. And, I the Lord knows he had a crazy redneck young man in there that day, which was me. And I went down there, and I grabbed this man by his right wrist, put him in the fireman's carry, and picked him up over my shoulders. And I'll tell you, that was supernatural. I don't know that I could have done that again. He was a big old boy. Amen. I picked him up, and I started bouncing him all over the church, jumping like that, bouncing him. People went from praising to just staring at him. Jaws were dropped on the floor. I bounced him all over that church. When I got done bouncing him over there, I bounced him back over here. And by the time I'm done bouncing, just like that, bouncing him all around, I got back to where he was standing. I put him back on his feet. When I set him back on his feet, the power of the Holy Ghost hit him. He fell out in the spirit, and he began to cry. I started prophesying over him that God was going to use him to touch the young people of that region of North Carolina. And I began to prophesy over his life. And that's all I said about it. I didn't address it any further. I went and closed the service. Well, when the service was over, I was standing over here, and there was an older man sitting next to him. And I figured that was probably his pastor, and they were visiting from another church, because I could tell the guy had a ministry anointing on it. And that man made a beeline for me right after the service. Here comes the pastor, an older gentleman. I thought, oh, Lord, here comes my tongue lashing for being a crazy young preacher. And he comes over to me and walks straight up, and he said, Brother Ted, he said, you don't understand how much that meant to that young man. I said, what do you mean? Now I'm interested. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll tell you. He said, I told him about 3 months ago that God wants you to be the youth pastor of our church. And he said to me, no, Pastor, I could never be a youth pastor. He said, I've had too many issues in my past. He said, I've dealt with too many things. He said, the Lord could never use me to be a youth pastor. He said, and so I let it go and never said another thing to him about it. He said, but then tonight we were riding over to your meeting. He said, and he rode in my car. He said, and it came back up in my spirit again that he needed to be the youth pastor. I said, so I told him again, God wants you to be the youth pastor of our church. And he said the same thing. He said, Pastor, I couldn't do it. Too many issues. And I insisted. He said, this time I insisted to him. He said, no, you need to. And he said to me in the car, if God wants me to be the youth pastor, he's going to have to give me a crazy sign. Hallelujah. Going to have to give me a crazy sign. Well, the issue, the good thing was, he said there was a crazy enough preacher in there to give the crazy sign. Hallelujah. And God had to speak through his Holy Spirit, because if that thing would have never taken place, see, you don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing in the background and behind the scenes, but he's working out his plan. Hallelujah. I said he's working out his plan. And as he works out his plan, you just got to be obedient to him. And when you're obedient, then things begin to break loose. Things begin to take place. Hallelujah. Obeying the voice of the Spirit always brings a breakthrough. I'll give you another one. We were flying. I was actually flying from Norfolk. If any of you are here, I think last night I told the story of how I accidentally left a crazy voicemail on Pastor David's phone. And I called him because I have two friends with very similar names, David Harris. I got another one named David Norris. And I was going to preach for David Norris up in Indianapolis. And they had me fly from Norfolk to Atlanta and then Atlanta into Indianapolis. And so on my flight from Norfolk to Atlanta, I'm flying on the plane, and I was very early on in ministry, just out of Bible school, hadn't done many meetings, and the Lord was starting to use me by his power. I said, God, I'm going to do something here. I'm not going to read any books. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost for this entire trip until I get to where I'm going. I'm going to pray in the Spirit and see what you would say to me. And so I got on that plane in Norfolk and sat down. And it was a night flight, so they informed us they were going to be turning the cabin lights off. And so I said, that's fine. And I sat there like I hadn't any say in the matter. They had turned them off. You can't tell them not to. And so I said, that's fine. Told the captain, do what you want to do. That's okay. I'm back in. And so I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, this quick. As I sat down on my seat, started praying, I heard the Lord say in my spirit, he said, look over to your right. And I looked over. They'd already dimmed the cabin lights, but I saw we had the seat set up was three seats, then the aisle, then three more seats. The Lord said, see the man sitting against the far window, and I was against this window. He said, you need to start praying for that man's vision. He said, if you don't pray for his vision, he's going to lose his eyesight. He said, so begin to pray right now. And so the whole time I'm praying. Now, at first I thought maybe this is just me making this up so I can feel like I got a word from the Holy Ghost, you know. But I said, you know what, I'm going to pray it out anyway. So I began to pray. Don't look at me like you've never had that. Lord spoke to you and you thought it was just you. But now I said, I'm going to believe God. And so I began to pray. And as I'm praying in the plane, I'm getting more and more in the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling a breakthrough. But I'm also ornery and I'm curious and I want to know the other side of this story. So when the plane landed and we touched down, I wanted to talk to this guy and find out the background story. But I found out the hard way. There's no easy way to start a conversation with somebody about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so he stood up. But when he stood up, I saw him turn his head. Now, I saw he had glasses on. But when he turned to look at me, I saw his right eye, which was the farthest eye from me, it was drooping way down into his eye like that. His eye was a severely lazy eye. And so I started to talk to him. I couldn't think of anything else to say to start the conversation. So I just said, hey, man, I was praying for you on this flight tonight. He looked at me kind of weird. He said, you were? I said, yeah, I was praying for you. I said, God had me praying for your vision. He got kind of weirded out. He said, well, brother, he said, I'm Catholic. He said, the Lord speaks to me a little different than he speaks to you, apparently. I said, well, that's all right. And we left and got into the Atlanta terminal here, and we're walking through the airport. And as we left the plane, I'm walking alongside him, and I start stirring him up. I'm giving him encouragement from the Word of God. Jesus is a healer. He'll heal you. Hallelujah. I'm just encouraging him all the way through the terminal. Well, the time came when we had to part ways, and he had to go down the escalator to take the train to the next terminal, and my flight was out of the same terminal. So I said to him before we left, I said, hold on a second. I said, I feel like I would be doing you a great disservice if I didn't lay hands on you and pray for you right here for your healing. Now, when you say something like that to somebody in an airport that you've never met before, you expect them to say, well, thank you, brother, for thinking that. I'm late. I got to make my next plane and get out of there as quickly as possible. But see, the Holy Spirit was working. And see, this is how you got to be led by the Spirit. And as he said that, I said to him, I got to pray for you. You know what he did? He put both of his bags down right by the escalator, shot his hands up to heaven, and said, let's do it. Hallelujah. And right there in the middle of the Atlanta airport, as hundreds of people are walking by, I laid my hands on his head and commanded the healing power of God to flow through his body. But see, I would have never been able to get to that point where I transferred the anointing into his body if I had not been able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And we've got to learn to be led and to hear the Holy Ghost. If we don't hear him, we can't have the breakthrough. Somebody shout amen. If we can't hear him, we can't have the breakthrough. And so we've got to realize the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just bring strength. It leads us into breakthrough. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
I want you to lift your hands all over this church tonight. Because there's a precious anointing in the Holy Ghost in this place. And I tell you, there's an anointing to break every yoke of bondage. To break every chain. To bring everything the enemy would use to destroy you. And to take it completely out of your life. Now, the important thing that we get as you have your hands remain raised is this, that we have to remain filled with the Holy Ghost. If we don't remain filled with the Holy Ghost, then we're missing out on the blessings God has prepared. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you've already been filled, you can get refilled with the Holy Spirit. And there's something important about a refilling of the Holy Ghost. It sets you back on fire again in the kingdom of God. And it puts you back on track to do what you've been called to do. Now you can put your hands down for a moment, because before I pray for you, I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit and from the Word the importance of being refilled. Hallelujah. My sister with the blonde hair, just lift your hands. The Holy Spirit's touching you right where you're sitting. I just saw the anointing come on you, and you're being touched now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. So receive a touch from the Holy Spirit tonight. For this is going to be the night you'll remember, and you'll say, thank you, Lord. You met me at that church, and you gave me a precious impartation from heaven. Hey, and the Lord is bringing a supernatural power into your body. And you'll not struggle again. Stand on your feet if you would. Take two steps here into the aisle and lift those hands. Thank you for coming tonight, but I tell you, there's a gift from heaven for you. And every harassing force that's tried to come against your life, that you've been battling and saying, Lord, remove this hindrance, this battle from me, it's going out tonight in Jesus' name. And every attack of the enemy that the devil would use to try to buffet you, the Bible calls it a buffeting spirit. That's something that comes and it just continues to press on you. But it's removed tonight in Jesus' name. And I command it to go and don't come back. By the power of the Holy Ghost, be free in Jesus' name. I loose the fire of God into your body tonight. You'll never be the same again. Now keep those hands raised. Be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' mighty name. I command you to be filled to the utmost with the Holy Spirit. Never be the same again. Lift your hands. Now listen, I want you to hear this before we pray. Hallelujah. There's three things. I went over these briefly the other night, but you need to understand. There's three things that happen when we get refilled with the Holy Spirit. The first thing that happens is that we get filled up with virtue in the Holy Spirit. Virtue. That is the strength and the power to work the works of God. It's the anointing. It's the precious power that you saw in Mark chapter 5. The Bible says virtue went out of Jesus and went into the woman with the issue of blood. It comes out of you and goes into those you minister to. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, a virtue is rebuilt up in you again to continue to pour out. Number two, when you get refilled with the Holy Spirit, there is a strengthening that comes upon you, a fresh strength in the Holy Ghost. It's a strength for your body, it's a strength for your mind, and it's a strength for your spirit. The Bible declares that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and He quickens your mortal body. That physical body is literally strengthened by the Holy Ghost. And so the same Spirit that yanked a dead body out of a tomb and put life back into it, whatever you're dealing with, it can yank that thing out of you and bring you back into full life in Jesus' name. Some people say, well, brother, you don't know what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. Hear me very clearly. Unless you're dead, you're not in a worse situation than Jesus was. Jesus was all the way dead. Lazarus was all the way dead. But when that Holy Ghost power came on him, even a dead body had to react to the power of God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. We were just in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania not long ago, and a girl came in with vision trouble. But in the service we were ministering in, the power of God came on her, and she said, instantly my vision was healed. I went home. She said, this is when I noticed it. She said, I was laying on my couch. She said, I looked all the way across the house, and she said, a clock that was on the wall that used to be a complete blur to me. She said, I was sitting there on the couch, and she said, I looked over, and it was crystal clear. She said, the clock was crystal clear. You know what she did the night before as an act of faith? She came down. She got saved Sunday morning with her husband. She quit her job because she got convicted about the things they were doing in regards to abortion, things like that. And then she took her glasses off and gave her glasses in the offering plate as an act of faith. She, just like Bartimaeus saying, here's my cloak, no longer will I be a beggar. She took her glasses off, said, no longer will I have poor vision. And God honored her faith, and she woke up the next day laying on the couch, and the clock was crystal clear. Hallelujah. Power of God healed her supernaturally. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does. It takes that quickening power, and it quickens your mortal body. Every evil thing the devil uses to destroy you. Do you know cancer cells have to respond to the Holy Ghost? We prayed for a man up in Maine. He had full-blown leukemia in his body. I laid hands on him. The power of God came over him. I came back the next year. He said, let me give you the doctor's report. Body's completely clear of leukemia. Every evil thing has to respond to the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. I tell you, I just felt a strength come on me to rebuke this thing. I've prayed for you before, but I'm telling you, get ready. And you change your confession. And from this night forward, you say, I'm healed. You don't need one more prayer. You don't need one more person to agree with you. Because when I lay hands on you now, the fire of the Holy Ghost is going into your body. And this thing is coming out in Jesus' name. Now stand on your feet and lift those hands. Give me an usher. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Now put both hands on your stomach. Here it comes. Fire of the Holy Ghost. I rebuke this attack against your life, Tracy. And I command it to come out and don't come back. Fire of God come into her. And I command it to never come back on you in Jesus' name. Don't come back. Don't come back. In Jesus' name. Every evil thing has to respond to the power of the Holy Ghost, whether it be a cancer cell, whether it be glaucoma or diabetes. It doesn't matter what it is. It has to bow its knee and declare Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. There's no enemy big enough to come against what's in you. Woo, glory to God. I feel the joy of the Lord in here. So number two, there is a power that strengthens your mortal body. Strengthens your mortal body. And then finally, you need to see this. It puts within you a fresh hunger to work the works of God and to live for God. You know, one of the reasons people get burnt out in doing what they're called to do is they don't stay in fresh fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Tracy, you'll never be the same again. Whew, hallelujah. I felt it go right off you right as I laid my hands on you. Stand up, be free in the Holy Spirit. Stand up a brand new woman. Ha, ha, ha. And the peace of God will rule your heart and your mind. We thank you, Lord, that you'll never have to battle this thing again in Jesus' name. Never again. Hallelujah. Free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now give Jesus all the praise because he does it. Thank you, Lord. And so the final thing I'll say before I pray for you is this, is that when you get refilled with the Holy Ghost, a fresh hunger comes into your heart. And you have a desire like you've never had to serve the Lord and to do what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Yes. And so we need these things because if God is depending on us in this final moments of time, because as I preached to you last night with all my heart, if you didn't get that CD, you need to get it from this church because Jesus is getting ready to come back to this earth. And time is short before he comes. We have to work the works of God. But we can't work them without the Holy Spirit. We need him in order to do what we've been called to do. It's impossible to reap the harvest in our own strength. Impossible. We have to do it by the strength of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just say this. If it was possible to work the works of God without the Holy Spirit, God would have never seen fit to fill Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Because if it wasn't necessary, he wouldn't have done it. But Jesus took it upon himself. Paul took it upon himself. The apostles took it upon themselves because it's God's design and his desire for his church. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit is not a side dish to the entree of salvation. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift ever given from heaven after Jesus Christ. And we need him. Hallelujah. I said we need him. Let's lift our hands all over this place. You can stand on your feet and you can put your Bibles down. I'd like the worship team to come back if they would. And do that song once again. I love that song you do. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Good Father. You're a good, good Father. I love that song. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Hallelujah. Who you are. Who you are. I love it. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Jesus, we worship you. And so as we worship the Lord, I believe tonight is a night for us to receive a fresh impartation of the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe this is a perfect way. No, I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. Hold on one second. I just heard the Holy Ghost say this. There's one other thing that's getting ready to be released tonight, and that is a supernatural joy of the Holy Ghost. It's a joy of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, get ready, because every one of us is leaving here with a fresh joy. Woo, glory to God. A fresh joy in the Holy Ghost. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more being harassed with depression. In fact, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. You listen to me. If you're in this building tonight and the enemy's trying to come against your life and you've been battling against that chronic depression, anxiety attacks, panic attack, spirit of fear, and it's trying to come against you, get out of your seat. Come right now. I'm going to lay hands on you. And joy is getting ready to hit you. Come on. If that's you and you won't be free from that, come on. And God's going to touch you. For there's a joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a wonderful joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's a joy in the Holy Ghost. Carolyn, let me have a... No, you can say that. I was just asking my wife for a thing here. Come line up right over here, if you will. Come line right up. I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to touch you. Hallelujah. Joy. Everybody say joy. Say it again. Joy. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Now listen to me. I don't know what it is because I don't understand the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit fully. The Bible says that he gives to every man severally as he wills, which means that he uses people how he sees fit. So I don't know why this is, but I can tell you, and you can ask my wife, one of the gifts God has given me is a gift to destroy depression and anxiety. I tell you, I know it with all my heart. One of the things God's endued me with power to do is to remove that chain of fear, depression, and anxiety. And so when I lay my hands on you, the mighty joy of the Holy Ghost is getting ready to flood over your soul, and every attack of depression is leaving. Every attack of anxiety is leaving. Every attack of fear is leaving, and you'll be filled with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. No more will the enemy be able to harass you and make you have, you know, some of you, I understand how the devil works. He's a thief and a killer. He wants you to end it all. And many times the devil just puts those thoughts in there. It'd be better if you just ended it all. Things aren't going the way you need them to go. Let me tell you something. I feel like tonight I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, thoughts of suicide are going out. Thoughts of suicide are leaving in Jesus' name. And no longer will you battle these foul things from the enemy. But when I pray for you in just a moment, that evil attack is coming off. And let me tell you, you're going to feel a lightness in the Spirit. It's going to be like the Holy Ghost lifts the burden right off your shoulders. And you're going to be happier than you've ever been. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. So lift your hands all over this place. Father, as I get ready to lay hands on these that have been battling an attack from the enemy, I ask you to show yourself mighty tonight. I ask you to bring a mighty impartation of the Holy Ghost and break every chain of bondage. Break every yoke by the anointing. Every yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. So we give you praise ahead of time that every one of these will be completely free. Completely free. Completely free in Jesus' mighty name. And we magnify you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Now let's lift our hands and receive. Come on.
And I've heard a thousand stories of what
I command it to go in Jesus' name. Be filled with the mighty joy
like,
of the Holy Ghost.
But I've heard the tender whispers of love.
With the joy of the Holy Ghost, feel now more. Be filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Never
I rebuke depression. I rebuke anxiety. I rebuke fear. I command you to be filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And be filled with the power of the mighty Holy Spirit tonight. Be filled afresh and anew with the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Put your hands. I rebuke depression, anxiety, and fear. I command you to be free. And I lose the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. That is your strength. I rebuke depression, anxiety, fear. Command it to go. And I lose the joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy of the Holy Ghost.
We're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need.